Today's program is focused on the missile alert, and all week we've been gathering comments via our talkback line from listeners. Let's hear some more of them.
Good morning. This is Bud Clifton. I'm calling from Maui, Hawaii. Yes, I got that alert, and my initial reaction was I didn't believe it.
Hi, this is Rob Wendell from Haiku. You know, it seems like there's a lot of work to be done. There was a failure in software and the hardware. There was no way to cancel the alert. There was a failure in the command structure where one person could make a decision like that with no supervisor buy-in or sign-off. And there was a failure in the personnel management department, like having someone in that position who had difficulties before. So, like I said, these guys have a lot of work to do. Aloha.
I just want to say that I feel like enough has been done, and that the guy that made the mistake and made a couple of mistakes, from what it sounds like, has been removed from that position. And I do have faith in our emergency management system. Thanks.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm not really angry at the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency for making a mistake. In a way, I think this is a wake-up call a lot of people needed to realize that they don't have a plan and they haven't been paying attention to what to do in the case of an emergency. And it includes everyone from the governor all the way down to the average citizen. So, you know, my emphasis would be, can we solve these problems, find the gaps, and fix them?
HBR reporter Wayne Yoshioka has covered the missile alert story from the moment it happened, tracking the way officials have released information to the public. He looks at the incident and the way we were told about it as an inevitable result of the way the system was set up.
I went to both news conferences on the 13th and the 30th, and what I really characterized this as, it's a shining example of Murphy's Law. What can go wrong, did go wrong, will go wrong, and it did on January 13th. They had a National Weather Service system that they tried to cram into a ballistic missile warning system, and you had operators who had hours and weeks of advance from the National Weather Service and, you know, trying to predict hurricanes and other natural disasters. And then you put them in a position where they had to make split-second decisions on a ballistic missile launch and, you know, within 3 minutes. And that is like a system for failure. That's setting up your employees to fail. And I think that's what happened.
How far back does that establishing of a system go?
Well, it's basically a weather service system. So, you know, we're talking 1960s technology paired with computer technology into mobile apps. And it's like when you make a mistake, it's amplified, and you can make a mistake seconds faster, really fast, and you can really have a wide impact. And I think that was the basic error and flaw of that system. Now, going back, what really constituted the basis for this making this decision about a ballistic missile attack? It was in July 2017 that they decided that the adjutant general, the governor, and all the leaders that be, that we have a possible threat from North Korea of a ballistic missile attack. Possible, not probable, highly unlikely, but they made the decision, okay, we got to do something. So in November, they rolled out this plan where they used an air raid warning system, really old process, and they tried to make this into a ballistic missile alert system, and I don't think it worked. It did not work. And here you had this employee who had been counseled twice, and he was really out of his element, trying to make that judgment in 3 seconds. And it's like, you know, you have set this employee up for failure. You counseled him twice, and here is this person saying, okay, all I have to do is listen and do what I'm told. And all he heard was, this is not a drill. And he pressed all those buttons, and there we went.
On the 13th, Wayne, the focus of all the communications we got from government in the aftermath, you know, the immediate aftermath, mm-hmm. looking for an explanation, basically one guy messed up, we're awfully sorry, he's going to be transferred, and no harm, no foul. And then, 17 days later, we learned an awful lot more.
about the whole system that they had they had created with all these processes that really were not fail-safe. There was no way to recall the message. There was no way to send an all clear. It was like the Armageddon response. Here we go, the incoming. You got 15 minutes to seek shelter, and we're all not going to make it.
Well, the state, what you're saying is that the state and emergency management personnel had been alerted to this specific problem some months before and had been working on a plan. And yet the perception of the public on that day was that there wasn't exactly a very robust plan.
Right. They were operating under the premise that you have a 150-kiloton nuclear bomb coming to you within 15 minutes, and there really was no other recourse for you. And we had people being horrified, calling relatives on the mainland saying goodbye. And, you know, it was a horrific experience for many people, but was it necessary? We have to go back to July 2017 when they made this decision to say that we have a ballistic missile threat, a threat that is highly unlikely, but we're going to do something, and we're going to prepare something, and we're going to have this plan ready for to execute. And they not only exercised that, but they used the real message. This is not a drill, in their exercises, and that set this employee up for failure.
Even with that, you know, presumably agreed upon real message, seek shelter doesn't tell you a whole lot about what you need to do. And that was what I heard when I heard it. People were running around saying, seek shelter, what does that mean?
Correct. And they had tried to do this whole education process, going on to various neighborhood board meetings and trying to educate people. But when you say to someone that you've got 15 minutes and you've got to seek shelter, I mean, you know, what does a person do? And here he is. They're saying, you know, Hawaii is the only state out front preparing for this ballistic missile attack. Well, when you're out there all alone and you look around and you say, why isn't anybody else doing it? That should be a red flag that comes up to you and says, don't do this. You're going to scare a lot of people for nothing.
Do you think we're headed for meaningful reform of this system?
Well, you have to eliminate the human element. And to do that, you need a hardwired system from PACOM to the state, to the county.
Pacific Command.
Yeah, Pacific Command. And when Pacific Command presses the button, it goes automatically. No human intervention, no human interpretation, no human action required. It, boom, it goes, and it's sent to everybody. And that's the system that has to be in place. You've got to remove the human element and human error.
There's still an awful lot of emphasis on this human whose name we do not know mm-hmm. as having, you know, a personal problem of some kind, or, you know, personal problems confined to a specific employee situation. Address the problem, and you've with the employee, and you've addressed the problem overall. But that isn't what you're saying at all.
No, it's a leadership failure. You set up a system with a chain of events, and you do it to the weakest link. If that employee is the weakest link in your system, then you've got to make it so that person, whoever he or she is, does not fail. And if you as a leader say, you know, I need to paint 4 computers red and use the gray ones for exercise and tell this employee this is for exercise and this is for real, if that's what it takes, you've got to set it up. You can't set this employee and say, sit down at this computer and do exactly what I tell you. Not exactly what I tell you, but exactly what you hear, and that's failure.
I think it was only a day or so after the 13th that we saw what the graphics display looked like.
And that would confuse anyone, because basically you hit a button and that disappears, and all of a sudden it says, is this what you really want to do? Well, you don't know what you really want to do because you can't see it, and that's setting up an employee for failure.
There seem to have been quite a few layers between decision makers and those who execute, or at least that particular button pusher, or however you want to characterize.
And the supervisor, of course, standing in the hallway, you know, phoning in a message that's really not the way to do it. The supervisor needs to be right next to the person and see what actions that person takes. If they freeze, then you've got to take corrective action. You can't just stay in the hallway and say, you know, if they press the wrong button, what's that going to do? And I think 26 exercises they did, I mean, what did they learn from all those? I don't think they learned a lot.
Well, chances are we're going to be learning a great deal more about this.
And I think they need to reevaluate their decision-making process. Going back to July 2017, why did they pick this scenario in the first place? Why? And that's the question that they need to answer.
Wayne Yoshioka is Hawaii Public Radio's political reporter, and you can find his stories at hawaiipublicradio.org.
All this hour, we've been hearing about what our listeners think about the situation, and here's what some of you said.
Hi, this is Charles calling from the Big Island. Your question was if enough is being done to address the false alarm, and I would say no, and that's because the focus, I believe, is in entirely the wrong place. The false alarm was upsetting, and I'm glad that the system is being addressed, but I'm not upset that it happened. False alarms are just one of the prices of having an alarm system, and it was an eye-opener. What I'm upset about is that it was so believable, that it was so believable. The problem that I would like to see more done about is a White House that's engaging in brinksmanship and saber-rattling. Great that the alarm system's being fixed, but can we become, again, a country that engages in diplomacy and doesn't basically dare people to bomb us? Thank you.
Hi, this is Richard from Haleiwa. The Hawaii Emergency Management definitely suffered a lack of confidence, in my opinion, because, you know, you expect the highest professionalism from people with important jobs like that. However, I would like to also say I'm really glad we have the system, and it's probably going to be improved since this mistake. Thank you.
Hello, this is Doc Ralston from Waimanalo. Mistake or not, one good thing that came out of this, I think, was that it gave everyone pause to think about how they would want to be prepared and what kind of readiness. Thank you.
Enough has been said about the false alert. It looks like it was not even an accident, but someone who should have been fired years ago. Maybe the organization needs to rethink how it handles its employees that shouldn't even be on the job. Thanks.
Yes, my name is Brian Persha. I'm calling from the island of Maui. I think it might be interesting to follow the money, find out how much is any patronage that's involved in the employee's position, who turned out to be a really not good deal for the people of Maui and for the state of Hawaii. I was at Kanaha Beach the morning of this episode, and I watched the parents setting up for a day at the beach, hit the panic button, and their children freaking out. Now, the adults can take care of themselves, but the little children will live with this for much of their lives.
Thanks so much for your calls. If you want to tell us what you think, call our talkback line at 808-792-8217. This is The Conversation.